Well, we're going back into our subject again, avoiding tragedy. And it's really important as we're looking into, last week we began to look into thing of the scriptures and looking at things that it's God's will and plan for us that is one of the things is if we're going to avoid tragedy or we're going to stay out of problems is the big thing because, I mean, now, don't get the idea that you're going to live in this world and there's nothing going to happen. But one of the things that you'll find this out, if you start to understand the word, most people go through a lot of things that they created. And they don't realize it may be from ignorance, they're not trying to, but through ignorance of things, they get themselves in a lot of trouble. And sometimes people, the Bible says, if you know to do good and do it not, it's a sin. Sometimes people know the right thing to do, but that's not what they want to do or that's what they desire to do. So it's important as we looked in the scriptures, one of the things is we read from Hosea where it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." In Hosea 4:6, but it went on to say also, because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being my priests. And he said, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. See, we need to understand this is what the knowledge of God. When God reveals himself, we don't realize, and this is one of the things why, you've heard me say this many times over the years, is the fact of, what we do and don't do does not just affect us. It affects others too. Here in this instant, walking in the knowledge of God, God tells them it's going to affect their children. Their offspring are going to get affected by this. We had this, I don't know if you remember back in the 1960s, I sure remember those days, and this was all this bit about, doing all these things. I'm doing this stuff, but it doesn't hurt other people. This is just me. And it became all this me stuff. I could do anything that I wanted. And it was all right because this is just me doing it. Well, how well did that turn out to be, following that kind of thinking? That's what a lot of people have lived and done. And we used the scriptures and looked where concerning the knowledge of God in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in starting in verse 2, 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'm going to read there. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." So grace and peace are multiplied to us, which is really good. It's multiplied through the knowledge of God. It's multiplied. It didn't say it's something that's added to you. Multiplication is always better for something good. And it's multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who created, who called us by the glory, his glory and virtue." And this is really important because the knowledge of God, we come in contact with the divine nature of God. In other words, everything that the divine nature has given to us, we get to attain or take a hold of. It's already been given, but we need knowledge of it to operate in it and walk in it. And so God's whole intent is to give you knowledge. So he's not going to hold back things from you. And this is why as we go through and look at the Word, it's hugely important that we understand these things. Sometimes in the areas of Scriptures, people know things about the Word, but they don't become a reality to them. There's a lot of things that people say, well, I believe the Bible is true, or I believe this certain Scripture is true. But sometimes in people saying that, it's not a reality to them. They say it is. But people don't necessarily live in the light that is whatever they're saying is true. Now, we found that here in verse 4, it said, "By which having been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust." So there's these promises help us escape some things. And so that would really be good. So you want to gain knowledge of the Word. It's just like what we're doing here is in our teaching here on Wednesday nights. We come here. Why? We're trying to gain knowledge of the Word so we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. So if we desire to follow the plan of God and we want to walk in the blessings of God, that's surely what we want to do. Now, we did look at some scriptures here. One of the things we talked about is in John 16:33, where it says, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have troubles, but God wants you to overcome in these troubles. The things that happen, they're not supposed to overtake us. So he said, in the world, you'll have trouble, or in the world, speaking here, the world system. The problems that we face in this earth are not because of what God did. It's because of the sin of man, and Satan runs the world system. So in the world system, you have trouble. So it's not God trying to teach you something. It's the devil who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what's going on. And so people get over, is one of the things is breaking the habit, which seems to be very hard in the church world. Even with all that's going on around today, Christians, I hear they said all the time, and even ministers, that, you know, God's in control. Well, God's in control. I mean, that is, it's so ludicrous. I mean, to think that everything that God's in control of, and you watch them going on, and what happens gets a little nutty. Well, but we found out that in Romans 8:37, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. So in other words, God's intent is for you to be able to overcome. That's what he wants for you. So you need to get this in your mind and in your thinking, that the things that you're going through, I mean, think about what the Apostle Paul wrote and said concerning the tests and trials of life. He said, you know, when you and I are going through tests or trials, he said, don't let anything, you know, come on to you. He said, anything that comes on you, a test or trial, he said, that I haven't provided a way out. In other words, things come along and happen to you. If you're tempted, he said, any temptation that comes, so whatever tempts you when you ever think of temptation, do you think of good? In other words, when something comes along you, what it is something that's going to tempt you to fail or tempt you to, you know, in some way or other, have a major problem. That's what it is. It's temptation. In other words, Satan tempts you to do something wrong, something that's going to cause you a problem. And it's sin, whatever you temptation, God provides a way out. So in other words, the saying here that you're more than a conqueror would be true because God's plan for you is to overcome in those situations. Even though you're tempted, God doesn't have the plan that you would fall or fail in that temptation, that you would overcome in it. And also in 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses or manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So God, it says, he always leads you to triumph. Now, I want you to think about that. He always leads you into triumph. So, does God lead you into any situation that you don't triumph in? Would he lead you into any situation? See, when people come along and they go through disaster and things and fail and messes just happen that just destroy things, and people say, well, God had a purpose. Well, wasn't this his purpose? See, how we got to decide whether these kind of scriptures are really true or not. And this is where a thing you have to come through, because these are the areas where Satan is going to tempt you. Satan will come along an area and tempt you. And for some reason, people will talk and say like these scriptures, well, we're more than conquerors. They'll say things like that. We're more than conquerors. That's what we are. But yet, I'm more than a conqueror, but God has set me up to fail. I can't justify the two together. I can't put the two of them together. And you have to come to that point. People, we say scripture sometimes and we say them, but they're not realistic to us. They don't have, you know, because of what we see happening around us and what goes on. When some trouble comes knocking, well, what's the matter? Instead of saying, you know, I'm more than a conqueror. We want to look at something today. We're going to look at the 91st Psalm. We want to look at it, and because there's something here at the opening of this Psalm, we want to speak to this. The 91st Psalm, and here again, I remember when COVID started, and I heard different ministers, they started saying the 91st Psalm. Well, people need to stand on the 91st Psalm. They said this, but then I began to listen to the same ministers, and they began to talk and say a lot of things like, that didn't coincide with that belief. Now, I want you to see something here, because the 91st Psalm is really a prophetic psalm. It was a song was given of use to them in that time, but really, the church is the fulfillment of this psalm. We're the fulfillment of it. It's a prophetic psalm. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled this psalm for us. He became our healer, our deliverer. He became the one who took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And as we go through here and look through this, we find out, because in the opening of this psalm, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Well, in actuality, that's the new birth. That's the church. We're the one who abide. That's the place we live. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We became new creations. We're the ones that are in Christ. We're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. That's the church. And so we need to get this and understand that the fulfillment of this psalm really is in the church of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some things. Now listen what it starts off in verse 2. Now it says here that the person who is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, this individual, it says, "I will say of the Lord." In other words, now listen, he says, verse 2, "I will say of the Lord." The person is speaking and says something. The person who is abiding in the Lord is the one who has to be saying certain things. Your success is not as much in what you're saying at the time you have trouble. It's what you have been saying before you got in trouble. Do you understand that? You see, most people want to practice the Bible when trouble comes, but they haven't been practicing the Bible before trouble came. And you know what happens? They have a hard time trying to practice the Bible when trouble comes. They can't do it. Now, these things here that we're talking about are things that really are in line with the scripture concerning us, what Jesus did in his defeating Satan. Now, number one, if Satan is defeated, what Satan did, if Satan, the things that he does in the world or does through his world system that he operates, if we're still under that, then what did Jesus die for? If we're still under, and we're only going to get out of it someday when we go to heaven. Well, Jesus died pretty much in vain. Didn't produce much of anything. See, people got to change what they think. We have to change what we think about what is going on in the earth. We have to become people saying things, even though the world system we live in looks opposite. That we begin to talk a certain way, or we say things. Because as we go on, we're going to find out how important this is. Because the things you say, more than anybody else, is what you're going to get in your heart and produce. I don't care how much I preach to you, how much I say, your voice will govern more about you than I will. I've learned that over the years. You know what? I can sit down and listen. I can listen all the time to preaching and teaching the Word, and I do. I listen to stuff all the time, or I'm listening to things and I listen to teaching. But you know what? It's what I say determines what happens, not what they say. They can tell me to say all kind of good things. They can tell me to do all kind of good things, but if I don't do them, it don't matter what they say. You're going to put into you the things you hear yourself say. And so get yourself in that. That's why it says here in this verse, it says, "I will say of the Lord." What are you saying about the Lord? See, like these people say, well, God's in control. That's what they're saying about the Lord. The bad things that are happening, he's in control of. Now, when they get into trouble, what happens? God's doing this to me. They planted that in themselves. They put that in themselves. That's why they do that. So understand, we're going to find as we go along in this teaching that the things that we, especially the things that we're saying and doing, he said, "I'll say of the Lord." What about the Lord? "The Lord is my refuge and he is my fortress. He's my God. In him will I trust." I'm going to trust God. That's what I'm going to do. See, but you got to, one thing about it, make sure you're believing the right things about God. I know people say, "I'm going to trust God," and at the same time they're talking about, "He's the guy that got him in trouble. He's the guy that did all this thing. He killed their kid. He did this. He did that." I'm going to trust him? You see, that's why when I was a kid, I thought Christianity was insanity. I thought it was the stupidest bunch of people ever. They say, walk around saying the craziest stuff. Talk about trusting a God who's always doing something to them. He seemed to me he was more out to get you than out to help you. But the most crazy thing about it, when you read the Bible is completely different. But people are so filled with religion, they read the Bible for no purpose at all. It don't help them. Because all they see is what they have put into themselves by what they've been saying with their mouth. It doesn't matter what you read if you aren't putting those words in your mouth and saying them. That's why when I read the Bible, I read it out loud to myself. I let my mouth hear, my mouth speak those words. My mouth speaks those words. Many people sit down and read the Bible, then get up and talk all kinds of stuff. They're of no help to them. So you want to say things because of what you're going to put into you. Now, so we want to see this. I say of the Lord, God's my refuge. He is my fortress. Now, when you think of something that's a refuge and a fortress, you're thinking something that keeps you safe, doesn't it? Your refuge. He's your fortress. He's your God. See, he's my God. But we can say this as Christians because we're born. He's our Father. Now, what does a good father do? A good father takes care of his kids. He ain't, you know. I mean, we lock people up in jail if they'd make their kids sick. If they'd make their kids sick, we'll put them in jail. And Christianity says God will makes you sick because he loves you and he's trying to teach you something. And that's a good father. And that same people get all offended if somebody would abort a baby when their killer God, they serve. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. If God's in control, then he's in control of that, of all that abortion stuff. He's doing that. According to them, he's in control. So, this is why we want to make sure that we're saying things. Because it's number one, when you're facing trouble, the worst thing that you could have come to you as a Christian is to think that God would be against you or he's not going to help. I mean, what could you know, you get into trouble and nobody has an answer. We get a person goes to a doctor and you get a diagnosis, nobody has an answer. And you, well, God did this for me for a purpose. Everybody, even God's against you. I mean, how do you get out of that? How do you get any joy? Can you have any peace? Do you have grace and peace out of that? You can't. It's an impossibility. Yet, many Christians are in that category. They're in that place. And at the same time, they're saying, I'm trying to trust somebody. I'm trying to trust somebody that's trying to hurt me. The only thing I can trust is they may hurt me worse. You know, what do I trust? What can I trust? So, what we have here is that we have to define this. And this is one of the things that the Lord told me to emphasize this. Are these words really true? Are they really true to you? Are they true? Now you can say, yeah, they're God's word and I'm true. You can say it from a head knowledge thing. But you got to come down to the point where this stuff is true and no matter what else happens is not true. No matter what anybody else says or does is not true. Because the word says, that God's my fortress. My Father is my fortress. This God that I'm serving, he's my refuge. This one, it's my Father. I can trust him. If I'm in trouble, I can trust. You know, you got to come. If I've messed up, I got to still be able to trust him. If I mess up and he's against me. See, when I was a kid in church, if you did anything, God was going to get you. That was a biggie. God's going to get you. You did something. God's going to get you. He's writing everything. He's keeping a record on you. He's got file cabinets miles long of all the times you messed up and he don't forget nothing. Well, see, you have those things and if I get in trouble and I mess up, can I trust him? See, it doesn't tell me anything to me walking around saying I can trust him when I can't. Now, the Bible talks about we can trust God. Well, can we trust God? Now, I know this, I can't always trust Ed, but I can always trust him. And you got to know that. Your faith, counselor, you will never, ever have strong faith if you don't believe these things are true. You won't have strong faith. See, when we come to God in faith, my faith in God is not based on my performance. It's based on His. This is where people have a very hard time. Christianity and a religious thinking are teaching people to try to have faith based on their performance. Well, I can trust God if I've done everything right and if I've done everything good. No, the one of the things that I've learned, I can trust God in spite of my performance. Because I can trust Him. And in fact, if I've missed it, He'll forgive me. If I missed it, He'll still try to help me. He's on my side. He's going to work with me. That's what He's going to do. That's why you can trust. If you can only trust when you've done good, then you're under the law and you're under a curse. And you ain't under a curse. You've been redeemed from the curse. And see, we got to come. Christianity got to come out from under the curse. We got to change our thinking concerning God, because we're living in a world of tragedy. And much of the church world is no help in it. Because people need to hear about a God they can trust. They say, hey, I might have made a mess out of my life. You know, I made a mess out of my life, and when I came to Jesus, He didn't turn me down to being born again or changed. When I was a sinner, He overlooked my evil past and was good to me. Now that I got to be His kid, what's He doing? Taking notes on everything and trying to get me? But you see, religion and the law does that. That's what it does. It gets right. Now you got to walk in this perfection. Your faith is based on His performance, not yours. Keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. I don't care if you've messed up. That's why we have a God, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. It's like, oh boy, I've had to use that a few times. I've had to do that. And see, we want to keep that in mind with ourselves. We can trust God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be the same. I mean, look at David. We're reading Psalms. Look at David. I mean, David's a guy, had a guy killed to get his wife because of the mess up he made. The troubles that he caused. Yet God sends His Son through His heritage. I mean, it's just... Why? Because David trusted God. David didn't trust David. He learned to trust God. He learned to trust God. And see, that's what we have to do. So we have here, God is good. You know, they say God is good. And people say all the time, God is good all the time. That got to become more than a cliche said. That has to become a reality. Because when you're in the middle of trouble, cliche Christianity produces nothing. Believe me, I've had to deal with cliche Christians who walk around and say a lot of different things. They have these sayings they say, but they get in the middle of the trouble. You never hear them say their little cliches because they mean nothing to them now. You're in the middle of trouble. Cliches, it's what you really believe. You get within yourself. It's one of the things is get it within yourselves. God, His great interest, His great love is to help you, to bless you. Now listen to verse 3. Because I don't know if we'll get through this thing tonight or not, but we want to go through it. Because it says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now, the fowler here, that was like, you know, a net to catch a bird. But what this is telling me, He ain't talking about catching birds. What He's talking about here, things that go on in a person's life. In other words, the snares and things of life. The things that people get trapped in, things that happen to people. He talks about, here He says, the perilous pestilence. In other words, He's talking about bad things. Now listen, He starts off and says, surely He shall deliver, or the word shall, or you could use the word will there, would be just as accurate. Will. In other words, God will deliver you from this. So the snares are things in life, the things that trap us, the things that are, He said, He will deliver us. He says this, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth is what? His word. God's word is truth. It says in the New Testament, His word's the truth. The Bible says shield. What's our shield? We have a shield of faith. See, we have a shield. His word becomes our shield. So here we have these things. He's our shield and buckler. In other words, a buckler was a weapon to use. In other words, we have the sword of the Spirit talked about. So the word, faith in the word is your shield, but it's also, it is your weapon against the enemy. So God's word. So we have here, we see these things. This is what he will do. He's, in other words, he's going to cover you with his wings. He's going to be your protection. See, it started off again. He said he's your fortress and he's your refuge. And he said, when you get in trouble, he's going to be your protection. That's what he's going to do. See, when things come and start happening and bad things start happening, you need to get talking these things. God's protecting me. He's looking after me. That's what he's doing. I don't care if it looks like something bad's happening. You got to talk what the word says and not what you see. Faith is, if you're talking what you see, you are not speaking faith. Faith is saying what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, people hope, you hope to be protected. That's your hope. Then faith does this. It takes it. God is, because the word says, God is your, he's your shield. He's your strength. He's your buckler. His word. Hallelujah. He's protecting me right now. See, you might seem like you're going somewhere. Say, sorry, we're protected. Saying the right things. We're going to find, we'll study about these things later on. We're going to look into these things in the scriptures. But this is a wonderful psalm. And if you learn around and say these things, and trouble comes to you, say, God's protecting me. God's looking after me. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. He's looking after me and taking care of me. Now, that's what he said. This person, see, if you say these things, he's talking about the way you're supposed to talk. Now, he said, this person, verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You won't be afraid. See, if you're saying the right things, you won't be afraid. Fear comes to people because of what they say. They hear other people say things, they see something, and then they begin to say it. They begin to see it. And then more fear dominates you. It's like I've always said, did you ever meet a person who's depressed, who's saying stuff that's good? Now they're talking about how bad, and their depression, and their, see, they keep talking with their voice. They keep feeding themselves. They keep feeding themselves with the wrong thing because they live by what they see and what they feel. They live by, and they say those things. See, this is one thing. This is, I don't know why it's such a hard thing concerning faith is to say things that are good in a time of bad. That's what you have to learn to do. See, people want to say, you know, when you hear people say, well, I'm just going to say it the way I see it. And I say, well, here's a problem person. This person, they're in trouble because they're going to speak what they see. They see going on around them. They're going to say those things. Faith is the exact opposite of that. Faith looks at bad situation and begins to speak completely different in that situation. That's not going to overtake me. God's protecting me. God's looking after me. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's protecting. This stuff that's going on out here today, around in our country, all this stuff around out of here. You know, Fauci just said a thing about, well, eventually everybody's going to get the flu. And then he said, you ought to have a shot. I mean, but you realize, I mean, there's, but you know what? Don't think it's crazy. You could go around and just keep talking and don't talk the word of God. And after a while, you'll be doing that too. You'll be as nutty as he is. Because more or less of people got as nutty as he is. They're crazy as he is. They go around saying things and saying stuff, and eventually you will. You'll get it into you, and you'd be talking that way. See, that's why you want to say, and when times of trouble come, that is the days. You really want to guard what you say with your mouth. You want to guard yourself. Right now, in the United States, the huge part that we're dealing with right now is really from James. James wrote about the tongue. And he said that the tongue will start a fire. And we got a fire burning in our nation. It's because people won't shut up. People aren't speaking good. They're fighting. All they do is fight with each other back and forth, bickering back and forth, fighting over all this stuff when they should be making confessions of things, of what God's word says. God wants to bless this nation. God doesn't want to destroy America. America will be destroyed because it chose to be destroyed itself. It chooses. It will destroy itself. It will reap what it sows. That's the way it happens. It don't happen because God picked us out to, you know, do something bad or some other nation. They chose a direction to go and they will have the fruit of that. That's what they're going to get. And so, is getting over in the areas where we begin to speak and say these things. Hallelujah. So he says, you're not going to be afraid. Glory to God. You're going to say what's right. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to fear about these things. Hallelujah. The terror that comes by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Nor, verse 6, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noontime. So no matter what time of the day or night, something's coming, something's happened that's bad, whatever it might be, whatever the pestilence or whatever it is going on, it's God's going to take care of you. He said, you're not going to be afraid. See, if you say the right things, you won't fear it. Get it within yourself to believe what the word says. Believe what the word says. So, because why? It is knowledge of the word that brings you peace. You want to overcome fear? You will never overcome fear by praying. Now, he's saying praying wouldn't be helpful, you know, spend time. But when you think about what prayer is, it isn't calling out to God, God, do something so I ain't scared. Well, you're wasting your time praying that. But if you spend time in the Word and you fellowship with God in prayer, you won't be afraid of the things that go on. You won't fear them at all. Now listen what the psalmist says. Now think, this is inspired, and this is what we have. Did God inspire this, or did a man make it up? We have to decide that. In what way did that happen? Is this inspired by God? Were these really God's words speaking to us? Now, we need to understand about this. David, and the Bible tells us, David was not only a king, David was a prophet. The Psalms came out of the spirit of prophecy. They didn't come out of, you know, some guy making up some nice stuff to say. These came out of the spirit of prophecy. Now, the spirit of prophecy is saying this, 1,000 may fall at my side, at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. Now listen to this. Now this is speaking personally to the hearer. Because look what he says. I mean, he says 1,000 may fall at your side. So this is specifically speaking to us personally. So we can say at your side. He said, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. No matter who else is dropping, we ain't. It doesn't matter. See, make these things where they become a reality to us. Not, you know, we can sit and generally read through these things. These things need to be meditated, but this stuff comes from a way of life of living and talking a certain way and talking about certain things. And that's why people need to pick this up. If we could get in the United States for 1 month, for people to say these things instead of all these things they're saying about COVID, and all these people talking, and even the Christians talking about COVID, if we could get them to say, start saying this stuff, what a change it would bring in this nation. But see, we can't get people to stop talking about the problem. They don't talk the answer, they talk the problem. I don't know why, but we're geared toward talking about the problems. I don't know why it is. But getting people into these things, to me, this is just going through these things are so comforting is the fact, no matter what's going on out here, hallelujah, it's not going to come near me. Hallelujah. He said, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You're going to see what happens to the wicked, but it ain't happening to you. Hallelujah. Now listen, he goes, verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, he's your refuge, he says, even the Most High, your dwelling place, because you did that. He said, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So you want to come to a place where you believe that's what you're talking. That's what you're saying. That you're saying these things. These need to become your belief. You need to, there's one thing, you cannot have fear and faith. The two can't operate together. It's an impossibility. You can't be afraid you're going to have a problem at the same time, be afraid to be you know, happy because you don't have the problem. You can't have the two. You got to come to things is where you're not afraid. That's one of the things that I learned early in my Christian walk is dealing with that things about the areas of fear, because that's the main, one of the main things that Satan's always trying to do is he wants you to be afraid. Wants you to be scared. He wants to get you over in the area of fear. He wants to get you afraid. What he'll deal with you is your mind. But see, faith of the heart, it's not of the mind. It's of the heart. I don't care what your mind's doing. You can say anything you want out of your mind. That don't mean it's producing anything. It's what you get into your heart. And this is really important. It's what you get into your spirit that you're entering. Faith is of the spirit. That's why, Mark 11:23. What a person says in their heart, from their heart, and does it doubt. Those are the things that are produced. That's why you want to, Jesus talked about, you're supposed to protect your heart. You're supposed to protect your own spirit. You're the great protector of your spirit. And then one of the ways you do that is it don't matter what other people say about things, you control what's into your spirit by what you're saying. See, anybody else can say anything out there. You don't have to agree with them on it, whatever they say. But you learn to speak and control what goes into your spirit by what you say, what you agree with. Are you agreeing with the Word of God? The others that are speaking and saying things, are they in agreement with the Word of God? If they're not, we're not going to say what they said. I'm going to speak things concerning me that are in line with the Word of God and what God's Word said. That's what I'm going to agree, because that's what I want to get in my spirit. That's what I want to put in my inner man. That's what I want to get inside of me. And so I have the door. I keep the door to my spirit. Nobody else does. I keep the door to it. So lots of people don't like what they get in them, and they try to blame somebody did this or somebody did that, and they don't realize they've done it with their own mouth. You know, if somebody talks about me or does something like that, I mean, I have a choice. I can either agree with them, or I can just say, or I can make a confessional word. You know, it's up to me. You know, like some people say, well, you know, I hear people, you know, are always, you know, like today, you know, somebody's always doing something to somebody, and they're bullying me. Well, the only reason they can bully you is because you listen to it and say it and run around and tell people what they said. You keep saying it, so it gets into me. Well, there's one thing as I found out, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, there's always going to be somebody saying something about you. So, and that's just the way it is. You live godly in Christ Jesus, you suffer persecution. That's just the way it is. And you know, there's people out here, I don't care what you do, there's always bullies, there's always people saying and doing stuff out here. You can't let that control your life. You control, you be the controller of your own heart. Hallelujah. You can stay happy, you don't have to get miserable like they are. And so, it's hugely important that we get in line with the Word. So 1,000 falls at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It's not going to come nigh you. He said, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you will look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is your refuge, even your Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your way. He said he'll give his angels charge over you. Now, listen to this. See, we have in the New Testament tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. Here he says he's given angels charge. In other words, there's angels charge over you. And we find in the New Testament, because you're born again, you have say concerning those angels. They're sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. And you're an heir of salvation. That's what you are. And God has appointed. See, this you need to get that. You know, people get around and they're praying about getting angels and that stuff. No, he said he has already set angels in charge over you. He's already put ones around you to take care of you. He didn't say angel. And if you read it in the Hebrew, it's plural. So there's one thing, it has more than one angel. And so do you. He put give his angels charge over us. Hallelujah. So you got angels. You got God protecting you. And though we find out where this some of this protection comes from, His angels are looking after you. Hallelujah. So we need to get this in our mind. When we're going through trouble, we need to say, it's like the prophet. Remember the prophet Elisha? And his servant came out and saw the enemy out there and he, oh my God, we're in trouble. He said, now you know what? The prophet knew what was out there. And you know why he knew what was out there? Because of the word. That's how he knew what was out there. He didn't say, God, open our eyes so we see. He said, open this guy's eyes so he sees. He sees what I already knows out there. See, God's angels were already encamped around about it. He knew that. Why? Because his psalm was written before he came along. But he makes statement. He makes statements here about the angels. He said, show this guy there's more with us than with them. Do you think there's more with us than it is? You wouldn't think so today, the way people talk and what's going on. The way Christians are fighting over with the government about stuff. You'd think for sure that there's at least 100 billion more devils than there are angels, you know, for sure. They're all worried about this stuff. See, we want to see God move, but the church really don't believe He is moving. See, what we need to see something before we believe. We're Thomases. I'll believe the Lord's grace today when I see His hands, when I see the stuff. The Word ain't good enough. The Word's not enough. People came to Him, hey, the Lord's... Can you imagine? The guys He's been walking around with for 3 years told Him the Lord's alive. He won't even believe them. He don't even believe His own brethren. See, we saw all the rest of them say, we saw the Lord. Oh, I don't believe that. And then on top of that, Mary and them went to Him and told Him they saw the Lord. He didn't believe nothing. He don't believe nobody. He don't believe nothing. And then Jesus told him. Jesus didn't tell him. He was blessed. When he saw Jesus, Jesus said, Thomas, He said, you believe because you see. He said, the blessed people are the ones that don't see and believe. I'm the blessed. See, we're the blessed. We're the blessed. He wasn't blessed because he saw Jesus and walked with Him. We're blessed because we walk with Him and never see Him. Glory to God. We believe the Word's true. We're the blessed. But we live in a world today that's a seeing church. It's got to see before to believe. It wants a miracle by seeing first. It's not the way it works. Miracles come by believing and acting on the Word before you see a thing. Acting like the Word's true. God's taking care of us. His angels are around us. Don't matter what they're doing, what's going on. Don't matter what this COVID's doing. No, it doesn't matter. It's not bigger than our God. Hallelujah. We're under His protection. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. That's who He is. Glory to God. He's taking care of us. His angels are camped around about us. It ain't coming nigh us. Glory to God. That's what the Bible says. Is it true? Well, if people don't ever say these things very much or ever do, it doesn't become a reality. It depends what people have been speaking and saying. Verse 12 says, in His hands they shall bear you up. These angels are going to bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Listen to this. Don't worry about tripping. You will. But they're going to bear you up. He gave you these angels. You know what? He ain't going to let you fall. Glory to God. The Bible says that God's able to make you stand. Hallelujah. So we have it here. How's He do it? His angels. His angels taking care of you. Hallelujah. It says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. These are terminologies used concerning Satan and his kingdom. In other words, what the devil's bringing against you, the evil spirits that come and operate against us. It says, what do you say? What do we have in the New Testament? What are we told? We can cast out devils. See, in the name of Jesus, we've been given authority over Satan and all his works. See, this is a prophetic psalm because he says here, you shall tread upon him. He said, now listen to this. Because he, that would be us, who he's speaking to here. because he, this one who has made the Lord, the Most High, made his shelter, his refuge, this one, he said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will deliver. He'd say, well, I might do it. Well, you just say, sometimes I'll deliver and sometimes we don't. I have a purpose in not delivering sometimes. Sometimes I, you know, let you go and just suffer. That's just what I do. No, he said, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I won't answer him sometimes. He said, I will answer him. Listen, now these are the I wills, and you need to get this, because this, anybody tells you anything different, they're a liar. Well, sometimes God don't tell us stuff, and blah, 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 all this. He said, he will call on me, I will answer, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. That's what he said he'll do. The I wills. I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high, because he's known my name. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, for the word will to be used there, you know, there is not a stronger term that you could use, an expression or something, saying I will. Because if God has any other intention other than this and used that word, he's a liar. And this psalm, all the Bible ain't worth having. The making. We're telling you, this is God's will. This is God's will dealing with his people. This is his will. This is what he does. With long life, I might give to some people and others I'll kill young. This individual, and you need to understand this, people who walk in faith with you, he said, I'll satisfy. He said, with long life, I will satisfy him. See, the longevity of life has to do with us, not him. See, people say, well, God knows how many days, because the Bible says God knows how long you live. Sure, God knows how long you'll choose. But he don't choose the amount of days, we do. We need to understand that, because the Bible tells you things that you can do to shorten your life, things you can bring length to your life. And he said, "What? This is the one." Now listen, he said, I'm going to satisfy him with long life and, you know, he'll have some good days. He said, I'm going to show him my salvation. You know, long life don't get on, and you get on living when you're older and then you ain't living so good. You just life gets lousy. He said, I'm going to show him my salvation. Why? From the whole time. The whole time you live walking with God, he's showing you his salvation. Hallelujah. See, we need to walk in the light of these things. We need to live in the light. So we did get through, we got through that. I'm not going to go in any further because it would be too lengthy to go over into. But I wanted to go with this. This psalm is a hugely powerful psalm. But you need to sit down and you need to read through it and you have to settle it for yourself. I remember thing that really helped me is what Kenneth Hagin said. Now he was a 16-year-old boy. When he did this, whenever he got saved, he said he, you know, he had his Bible, his grandma's Methodist Bible he would read, but he said, I wrote in the leaf of the Bible, when he was 16 years old, he said, if the word of God, he wrote in there, he said, he took a red pen and wrote it in his Bible, and he said, if the word of God says it, I believe it, and that's it. Is coming to that point. And see, you have to determine. I don't understand people that struggle so hard to believe the Bible. Because I guess they just get so full of seeing around them that it's hard for them to believe something they can't see with their eye. You know, there's no other way to believe in God. You know, you can go out here and say, well, look at these trees that he made them, but that ain't seeing God. I can't trust in trees. I can't trust in mountains, and I can't trust in rivers and none of that kind of stuff. You can't trust. Don't matter if he created them. That's something that he created, but that's not him. And see, the Bible tells us, and the Bible speaks of how he deals and how he views man and what he wants to do with man. We have to determine whether we're going to believe that. We have to determine, are these kind of words true? Are these words true? Are they just some things written in there? Should be nice and sounds good, but we have to determine these things. Because if they're really true, are they true? Could I expect to be able to walk through life and be able to trust these words that are said? See, we have to decide that. When something comes and something happens, over the years, I've learned, some things I struggled through, you're working, you're learning to trust, you're learning to do those things. But over the years, I've learned to trust in God on things. You'll always have things that'll come along in your mind. Your mind wants to get over here because, you live in this world and your eyes are seeing things whether you want to see them or look at them or not. Your eyes see things. Your ears hear things that are going on around you. But you can get your heart to the place where your heart will stand and not be moved. It won't be moved by any of those things. Your mind may give you trouble, but your heart won't. Your heart won't give you any trouble. You know that you know. When you come to that place in life. It's like when I had a heart attack. I just knew that I knew the devil wasn't killing me. I just knew in the inside of me. Now, I'm going to tell you, my body is telling me, man, you're going to croak, boy. You're in bad shape. See, what's going on around me is completely different. But on the inside, I'd put stuff on the inside of me and put it on the inside of me to that inner man. He wasn't moved by none of it. He wasn't moved. The inner man wasn't. Out of the inner man, it just rose out to be, devil, you can't kill me. And I made sure I said those words out of my mouth. They came up out of my spirit, but I said them out of my mouth. See, those are the things that will come to pass. What you say out of your heart will come to pass. See, you can sit around and talk and say all the kind of things you want, but what's in your heart? And man, that was in my heart. I just said, devil, you can't kill me. Well, let me tell you, he kept telling me for almost an hour's time that I was going to die. Those words kept coming, you're going to die. And then old crazy me, I said, I'm going to go for a run. That's what I'm going to do. See, devil can't kill me. So you're going to find out what you're going to do. What you're going to do. See, this is what people do. The first thing most people start doing is something happens, they start protecting themselves. Oh my God. I can't do anything because I'll get hurt. It'll get worse. They'll get scared. They'll let fear start to dominate. Me, I don't know why, but I've always just sort of went over on the crazy side a little bit. I just said, I'm going to go for a run. This stuff either works or it don't. It either works or it don't. I've watched this happen a lot of times, and you can tell by people of faith, even among, around people. I've seen people have, stuff that happened to them and that stuff. And they'll go out here and, they won't follow what the doctor says exactly. They believe they're healed and they'll start acting out. And boy, others will sit around, well, they're crazy. They're going to end up getting hurt. They're going to do, and they'll start talking negative about them right away. Because of all their fears and all their worries. And the whole thing of it is, I know when something happens to them, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They will be in trouble because, they don't understand when somebody does something of faith. They have no clue what it is. They don't have a clue what it is. I believe I'm healed, but I'm never going to act like it till I see it. I'm never going to act like this thing's working. I'm never going to act like God's protecting me. I'm going to keep acting like He's not. You see, this stuff got to become real to us that it's true. You got to come to the place that you believe the devil can't take your life. You can sit and say all the healing scriptures you want and say all you want. If you believe He can kill you, He will. You need to get over the fact that you believe He can't kill you. So that's what people, the whole thing of it is, people's fear is fear of death. That's what it is. You got to lose that. The fear of death. Get over where you're just, I ain't going to be afraid about this. It ain't coming nigh me. It ain't coming nigh me. Where you can sit down and you can sit and relax. Where you can sit and you don't have to worry. It's nothing better than that. Like when Wanda was in the hospital, she went through her operation, her heart operation. I knew she it was going to be fine. Now they talk you about things, and my daughters wanted to worry about some stuff and things like that, and I just didn't talk to them much while she was in the operating room. I just wouldn't. I've learned you don't get in discussions. Don't get into those kind of things. Don't do that. Hallelujah. She's fine. She was in faith. I was in faith. And I'm staying with what's on the inside. I don't care. You know, she ended up, it was about, from when they told us at first that they would let us know about things, it was about an hour long. And boy, that made my daughter sort of nervous when that hour, you know, went through there. And on the inside, you look on the inside. It's going to be all, it's all right. I ain't worried. I'm trusting in the Lord. God's taking care of this thing. See, you got to come through this thing, you know. And I like those people just sitting out there and they're praying like they're, oh man, we just got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray while they're, their whole thing is based on fear, praying because they're afraid. They're trying to kill the person in there. They ain't praying by faith. They're praying like things are going wrong. I'm thanking God it's a working. See, people get into things and they don't see it at all. They don't see it. They were the outside. It's like, God's going to be moved because I'm whining out here and want this thing to work. Well, that ain't what makes it work. Faith is, I believe God's working. And I'm thanking Him the whole time. This thing's working. That's faith. Hallelujah. We got to get around this thing. I'm amazed how little the church knows about faith. The church don't know much about it, how it operates. They don't know. We don't know much about rest and peace when the troubles, the heat's on. That's when you need it. When nothing's going on, I don't even have to think about rest and peace. I mean, that ain't even on the thing. It's when you can rest and be at peace when the heat, when the fire's burning. When everything's being torched. And the house is burning down. And we're at rest and peace. We're not worried or afraid. God's taking care of us. You know? That's where you have to be. You can't look at what's going on around you because there's always going to be something going on around you. There's always going to be something there. There's going to be something there that's going to try to, and you're always going to have people trying to, you know, get you to worry about something or somebody. That's always, those things are going to be there. But I'll tell you what, it's learning. God would never expect things of us concerning faith if we could not do them. It would be unjust for Him to have expectations of us that we can't do. That we can. One of the great things is becoming blind to things around you that trouble you. Now, there's some things that I've learned, like I stay away from because they aggravate me, and I learn, well, you don't spend time looking in that direction. The average Christian, that's the place they're going to go look at whatever aggravates them. That's where we're going to spend our time. The things that really make them mad. Seeing what somebody's doing that bugs them. And they're going to be nosing into that. Because they're nosy, they can't keep it out. But they don't realize they do nothing but steal their own peace and take their peace away from them, but can't keep their nose out of the trouble areas because they just love to look into it. You got to learn. I've learned things that it's best I stay away from. It's best I don't look over there because those things aggravate me. And I don't need to be seeing that. I can have enough trouble sometimes with my mind. Without that, it's learning. It just comes down to this, learning to protect yourself. Learn to protect yourself. See, too many people want to know too many things and are too nosy about people, and they want to know gossip about them. They want to know what's going on, what's happening. I don't ask. It's like, I don't ask my daughters and them about their marriage and what's going on. I don't ask a thing. I ask nothing. I don't want to know. If they want to tell me something or them, that's up to them, but I don't ask a thing. You stay out of that stuff, you wouldn't believe it, because what happens? You get into it, the next thing you know, you're talking about it. The next thing you know, you're into it. The next thing you know, you're starting a fire in that thing, and it ends up 100 times worse than what it was, and you started to fire them, you're complaining about them. Woo, good preacher. Ha 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 it's just good to stay out of stuff sometimes. It is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you. Father God, that you're so wonderful and good and kind and merciful to us. God, you are our protection. And I just want to thank you that you are encamped around about us. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that the words and the gracious words, especially this Psalms, Lord, these gracious words, I want to thank you that they're true. And this is what you're doing for us. I want to thank you for that your angels that are encamped around about us, Lord God. I want to thank you. You have given them charge over us. Father God, to look after us. Father, I want to thank you. You've given us wisdom and understanding from your word. You're giving us insight so we can walk by faith and we can enjoy all the blessing that you've given to us in Christ Jesus. Father God, I want to thank you that in this world, in these days and times that we're living in, Father, we know that the scriptures told us how, and Paul wrote and said about how people were going to be in these last days and how they were going to act. Oh, my words. And Lord, they're sure out here fulfilling those scriptures. But Lord God, these words tell us concerning your people and we're your people. Hallelujah. Of your plans for us in this day and this time, Lord God, is not for us to go under, not for us to be tied up in worries and fears and anxieties of the day. But Lord God, I want to thank you, Father God, for peace and rest in the name of Jesus, that the knowledge of your word is coming to us freely and that we're walking and living in it and you're looking after us, taking care of us. Hallelujah. You're the one, if we stumble, you're able to make a stand. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.